rotunda we have, let me make a reference to the 7 points that you raised, and then I'll touch upon some of the issues that are the main concerns of the people. And as you also, you have not mentioned them in the 7 points. In the government of life, it's on the basis of expanded development of economy and at the same time social development and people's livelihood, rise in production, macro issues of production, investment, and also remove the obstacles, the rise in GDP, the issues of teachers, youths, and also the sustainable fund, and also free insurance, and also removing tensions across the region, and also entering some competition stages in the world, making subsidy handouts 5 times as much, and also the COVID vaccination till the end of the year, raising the wages and salaries of laborers on the basis of the inflation rate, and also giving some powers to guilds and unions, pension funds, and some other issues. There are 30 plus points that I have written down, and this is the agenda that I have, and the plans I have on my website since day one. It's been there, so people could go take a look at it. There are a number of other issues I just want to mention as the major concerns, and we should not just confined to the issues mentioned here. There are many more. Now, one of the major concerns is the issue of loss of trust on the part of people. People have no trust in the authorities. I think that it's lack of honesty in the words and deeds of the executives and authorities that people are feeling, and therefore they do not trust the performance of the authorities and their performances, and people do not cooperate to the authority. Even if the government does something right and proper, people close their eyes on that. And naturally, one of them also is the IRIB, the Radio and Television Organization. I mean, something is done. Now from Tehran, it's moved to London. I mean, less than 10% of the people follow from our national radio and television news. They look at the media in London. I mean, they have edited out my documentary because we had Shah Mahmood Talabani and the leaders' the comments in that. They have edited out. And the IRIB does not represent even the smallest minority. So the roots cause is the politicization of the issues, the insights, the way, the perspective. We need to change our outlook with this lord and servant. And that the peasant outlook should go away. Some people want to have all powers in every area. They want to poke their nose everywhere. They are not where they should be, and they are where they shouldn't be. So today, our livelihoods and subsistence are also politicized, unfortunately, heavily. And some people are not duty-bound, and they don't feel responsible to ground the laws. Lots of things mentioned here. Mr. Hemeti also mentioned a number of good points. But regrettably, you don't see any commitment regarding the implementation of the law. The problem is the performance of the authorities and the structure. What are people dissatisfied with? I mean, why should the most trivial issue, social trivial issue, change into a crisis? When it rains, we have floods, and the people are dissatisfied. We have quakes, and then we have people's dissatisfaction to the issue of gasoline 2 years ago. You see, these are not solutions, in my opinion. So those points that you mentioned, they have certain solutions that people know what they are. And some of them offer certain solutions that are not actually real ones. I mean, avoid meeting, eating, for example, meat, and wearing some unusual clothing. This is not the solution to the problem. We can overcome the issues based on the plans that I have offered. We can solve the problems, provided we stand together. You know, our youths, these days, internationally, they're involved in NASA and elsewhere in the world. Well, if we had our youngster here in this country, we wouldn't have these problems. If the brain drain hadn't happened, we wouldn't be facing these problems these days. Another problem is the issue of transparency, honesty. So alongside the issue of employment, job security, social freedom, people want transparency. They demand transparency and clarity. If we had transparency, we wouldn't have so much rent seeking and those issues that have caused people to lose their trust in the government. The dossier of Mr., for instance, Issa Sharifi, that was connected to the then mayor. And then for 4 years, it's just collecting dust. The dossier is just collecting dust. And that's a several thousand million rent issue, but it's just put into oblivion. Balak Zanjani's case, again, it's not clear, or people like Tabari. If transparency was there, people could have trusted, and people are demanding honesty. They want to see if COVID-19 is really dangerous. I mean, should they stay at home? Should they close down their businesses, really? If COVID-19 is dangerous, so in Khuzestan province, which has been as a red zone, that is very high risk zone, every year more than 100 people are dying from COVID-19. And yet, the day before yesterday, Mr. Raisi was showing off there in his campaign. Thousands of people got around him in COVID time. People say, why should we trust him? Do we have COVID-19 or we don't have COVID-19? Is it dangerous or is it not dangerous? So maybe I think this way Mr. Raisi maybe wants to be a master and a lord of the deprived, and then we should be the lord of the deceased. I mean, the vaccination, look at this. This is what happened in Fars province. Yes. 10 executives of the judiciary received vaccination. I'm asking them, is this legal? Is this transparent? Does everyone know about this?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I also thank all respected, all seven candidates who gave us a general picture of their administrations and talked about the concerns and priorities of their administrations. In the second part of the first half of this debate, each one of the candidates has 4 minutes to actually express the criticisms of the comments made by other respected candidates. Let's choose the first candidate by lot, who is going to speak in this section. Candidate number 6, Mr. Qazizadeh Hashemi, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms. The floor is yours.
In the name of God, the dear nation of Iran, those who have caused the current situation, it's like if you ask those people to resolve these problems, it's like asking the coronavirus to cure corona, or asking the fly to cure malaria, the fly that causes that disease. It seems as if these candidates, they have come from outside, and the candidate with the least role in executive the area belongs to me, and I'm at the parliament. I was an elected MP at the parliament, and they are making statements, the statements that were made 8 years ago with a stronger tone, with the same words, our sanctions, and so on. And you see what happened today. It's the extraordinary authority given to us, given to the government in the past 8 years, and through the government just lost the opportunity for negotiations due to bad way of negotiating. Even had the authority to have direct talks with the U.S. and these are the structural problems, institutional problems dating back to 40 years ago. If you didn't know how to run the country, and if all the concerns are in Tehran, and if the youths have been set aside, the innovators have been set aside, and if the women have been set aside, is anyone else to be blamed for all these? I'm repeating this. The solution is to change the generation of statesmen. We have a strong youth, we have strong women. They are not in need of us, the candidates who are present here. We are in need of them. We are in need of them in order to benefit from their capabilities, in order to just save us from the ongoing situation, repeated institutional problems. This is a concern by the people. How come the problems are not resolved? Why are these problems become chronic ones? Because there are some that through show-offs and by diverting people's attention instead of engaging in surgeries and eliminating malignant tumors and turned and so that the government would stand by the people. They have become anti-people. And the government just belongs to a special class of the society and their children. The relatives have got new relatives. There's tribalism. And when the people see this, they become upset. I have 20 plans and projects. And if possible, I will explain in the next part. And I will also explain in detail of Vivian. So the solution is to have the young people. And like the time of the triumph of the revolution, the young people had concerns. They stood by the people. And those young people are still there. They have become knowledgeable. They have gained experiences. And they have gotten familiar with the world.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number two, Mr. Zarkani, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms of the comments made by other candidates.
Respected people, are three letter ends in Nunu Farsi, the lack of knowledge, lack of wanting and lack of inability. This is the right example is Mr. Rani's administration par excellence and people who have worked in that government, some of them. Our problem is lying. If truly we had a Pinocchio in the real life, then his nose should have prolonged so long to turn around the planet Earth for a number of times. Why are we not honest? Why do we lie to people? This is too bad. We need to be honest. Mr. Hemeti, 2 years ago, he said that the price of gasoline has no impact, only less than 0.5% impact, and it will not stir the economic situation. And here we have all the points. This is written by Mr. Hemeti himself. The price, it will only have less than 0.5% impact on the economy. And Mr. Hemeti later announced that I disagreed the rise in the price of gasoline, and this is the worst action. Mr. Hemeti, why do you lie to the people? This is your memo, your official memo. You have signed it. Here, this is the date. You have asked for the price of the gasoline to be 5,000 tumans and diesel 1,000 tumans so that the budget deficit could be compensated. Why are you not honest with the people? I'm here not to allow officials to cheat the people. That's the end of that period. This is over. And then you say that, no, it was not me. It was somebody else. This is your own memo. This is your top secret memo. The other point is the issue of the International Monetary Fund and how to deal with that. These are the secrets of the country that you have put at the disposal of the IMF. This is the highest treason you have made in this country. The foreign exchange reserves, available reserves, unavailable reserves, everything you have publicized, and that's at the disposal of the IMF. And that's why the country is facing challenges. You should not lie to the people. This is too bad. This is not the right time. You cannot cover that up. And then in that inefficient work, you went on with the price of gasoline. The president, very funny way, said that I just realized it on Friday morning. I heard about the news. I mean, this is laughable. I mean, these are astronomical losses that we made in this country. Mr. Mehta is that it talks about reforms. Mr. Mehta is that the Crescent had $53 million in damage. Maybe you're not informed to talk about this, or maybe, I don't know, where on planet Earth you have lived. when you make such comments. That the fuel occurred, you removed it, and the 500 and three times as much you incurred loss in the country. The just politicizing things and politicking, you cannot. We can teach you. We are masters of that. We can teach you how to speak, not to be trapped later on. Now we're facing also those who have been responsible for this status quo. I mean, from the parliament, you have kicked somebody out, and then 85 million tomansi is now receiving from the government. From Sarmad Insurance Company. Mr. Hamati, who's going to have a response for this? We have astronomical gold coins, astronomical embezzlement, liquidity, audacity, that's also astronomical. I mean, is this Milky Way here for anyone?
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number 7, Mr. Rezai, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms.
I have to add a few sentences in line with what I said earlier. There's such political disputes that was an internal one, and then the infiltrators tried to take advantage of it, and today the country's political climate, they are managing the country's political climate, and the players are either unaware of it, or they are just taking up the time of the country, and they are impeding the people's energy and government's capabilities to focus upon basic issues. And the leader has on several occasions tried to resolve this problem. The policies of Article 44 have been submitted for implementation, and some of these policies have not become a law by the parliament so far. If this was had been done and had been implemented, this could just make economic progress. So with regard to negotiations, the leader just offered the approach of heroic leniency, and that provided the government with an opportunity and strongly supported the government. The government's measures had to turn into a major masterpiece for the lifting of sanctions, but what happened was that those sanctions were not lifted, and some other major sanctions were even imposed. So this shows that the problem will not be resolved. My dear friend, who I miss him, well, we should just knock on the table. In this way, one cannot run the country, and there's a need for a major surgery. My government, through strength, law, and law will create order and calm in the society, and will implement these establishment policies, and will restore your rights. And those infiltrators, the security contaminations that create a theater, and they just make political, superficial political disputes. We will shed light on such security contaminations. A tape is released, and then is it possible to just put to question the destiny of a great nation in this way? We are in need of strength in order to implement these plans. I told you that my plans called for major surgeries. This cannot be just put on the paper. There's a need for a strength and power in order to realize this goal. That power is not sufficient. We should bring back rationality. You see, individual factional rationality has replaced collective rationality. That is a loss. And we should have dialogue with the people. We should have dialogue with the elites. When there is a delay in the flight time, they say, that's it. And when we say, why there has been a rise in prices, they say, that's it. And nothing can be done. So there's a need for internal interaction. Otherwise, the interaction with foreigners will be of no use. So my government will comprise all the qualified persons.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Candidate number one, Mr. Jalili, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms.
Well, you see, one of the points that really matters when it comes to economy and governance issues is the existence of stability and economic issues in the economic environment of the country. This is a major issue. But sanctions, we cannot deny sanctions. They're there. The more important than sanctions is the excuse for sanctions under different pretexts that they want to blame everything, the sanctions for everything, and to cover up their inefficiencies. The person who becomes president, he should have the right understanding of international relations and equations. He should have the right understanding of the capacities domestically and also the link between the two. Now, the problem is that those who do not have the least information regarding international relations, they are in charge and they want to have their own prescription of the issues. When you're talking about a surge and jump in production, it needs more exports, and that requires more foreign interaction. You have had a very weak performance, and why? Because foreign interactions were confined to negotiations with a couple of countries. This wouldn't work. I mean, just look at the negotiations that are going on as we speak. The other side is saying that we have lots of other issues, and also the level of the sanctions will remain. So my question here is that we need to have a response to this. What plan do we have to tackle the sanctions? Without the right understanding of international issues, you cannot do anything. If they are using the lever, you need to take that lever away from him. That needs planning, both aggressive, both attack and counterattack. I mean, you shouldn't sit there and simply talk about it. Some people inside the country didn't allow us to do it. This means you don't understand the issue properly. So for the same reason as to how you can render the sanctions ineffective, not only make it ineffective, but also make the enemy regret placing sanctions. That should be your plan. You should say that on the back of this plan, in the 4 years, not only will I make those sanctions render ineffective, I'll also make the enemy repent and regret why they have sanctions in place. So why this counteraction with the world? How should I shape that? Our economy should not be kept waiting by only three countries or certain negotiations. When you said that you succeeded in those negotiations, so what happened? What was the result? 802 sanctions turned into 1,500 sanctions. The 3,000 Tumen dollar is not 30,000 Tumen dollar. 10 times as much. This is undeniable. I mean, you were not able to even do the negotiations right. I mean, you couldn't get the right result in international relations. Threats and opportunities should be envisaged at the same time. When there are opportunities and chances that need to be managed in the optimal way, the threats should also be minimized at the same time. I mean, you cannot put it all these away, and then you say, there are only three countries, I should stick to them and talk to them. You talk about international interactions. That's a really great thing to mention. From $1,000 billion of the neighboring countries, how far were you able to get that share that you have out of their imports from us? So in these banking transactions, we have 11 projects relevant to them. And even under sanctions, you can do this and make the sanctions ineffective. The central bank should do something. What have they done? Show us one instance. So these issues are right to people. You should have the right notion. The president should have the right understanding of international relations. He should know what's happening on this stage. He should know what the JCPOA is a balanced
check. Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number three, Mr. Hemmati, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Mr. Jalili is saying that Why are we negotiating with two or three countries for a decade? You had stopped it, and for that period, that has halted the growth of the country's GDP. It seems that you are not aware of international issues. You are saying that without paying attention to them, we should make progress. Iraq and China as our best friends, they are not giving us our money, and they are saying we have to wait for the outcome of negotiations and we will not have relationship. You're saying that you can bypass all these. So unemployment and for example, is the outcome of what you have done. You're just saying interaction is good. Interaction with whom? Without resolving the problem of sanctions, the world will not work with you. It's not working with you. The 20% extra cost that we are paying is for that reason. And Mr. Zafran is the bad cop, and he had some distorted the facts. I will not respond to. Regarding the stock exchange, said that you're the representative of the government, and this governor of central bank has no vote at the cabinet of ministers. I've been in order to, so there's talk of the role of the central bank in a stock exchange. I've not said this before because the minister of economy and some rivals, they acted in an immoral way, so I have to respond. I want to just mention some facts about the stock exchange. Before the fall of the stock exchange, I wrote a private letter to the president and the office of the leader, and I warned not to invite the people. I have this letter here. This was a letter I wrote to the leader. I warned against the stock exchange sometime prior to the fall of the stock exchange. He said that, Mr. President, this warning by this governor of central bank is important. There have been similar points mentioned. There's a need to adopt the decisive decision. What happened? They started inviting the people. The Minister of Economy said there's no bubble and it will go up. Several thousand billions, some people, individuals benefited several thousand billions for profit. So you changed the head of the stock exchange market three times, and the daily the transactions were changed, and the vice speaker of the then vice speaker of the parliament also made comments about this. This stock exchange has nothing to do with the central bank, and the last point is that the 11 individuals who have taken the banking resources, these 11 individuals received those resources more than 10 years ago. I stood firmly and I reduced that figure by 25,000 billions. But since Mr. Raisi had mentioned that I have given the resources, I am going to give the list of 11 individuals to Mr. Raisi, and he can just announce it to the people if he wishes to do so.
Yes. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's choose the next respected candidate who is going to speak in this section. Candidate number 5, Mr. Mehradizadeh, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms. The floor is yours.
Well, saying hello to people, we have the issue of livelihood, the environmental issues, issues of the family, social harms, and then governance issues, and most importantly, we have today's crisis, that's a lack of trust and hope. Despite all the recommendations by the authorities and also the campaign by IRIB and different kinds of banners and posters, still we don't see the fervor regarding the elections because people lack trust and that they have lost the hope, that their dreams have not been realized. In the years that passed, we had the issues of women, ethnic groups, the oppressed people, the less privileged people. Even the elections, they have all lost their main contacts and the elite youths. They have been pressured to such an extent, instead of taking the helm of the affairs, they need to just sit on airplane seats and get away from the country, and brain drain happens. So lots of youths that have lots, thousands of reasons to run away, but they have done one reason to stay. Do we have equal chance to acquire knowledge for women and to give them managerial positions to run the country's affairs? For ethnic groups in different areas and aspects, have we provide equal chances and opportunities for Article 15 of the Constitution and making use of local accents and dialects and teaching their own literature? And have we done anything serious, practical? Despite all the graceful and beautiful words on the uniting, the Sunni Muslims, without any reason, they're deprived of taking top positions and even cultural and worship centers. They're also facing some limitations. So today we're talking about, we're preaching the luxurious lifestyle of the authorities and their embezzlement and the fraud reports that people are losing hopes and business. So my plan is the government of life. I'll restore the trust that is lost. Will blow a new life into the society. When I say attention to the youths and women, that means providing the grounds for them to play an active role in the running of the country's affairs. I mean, the roles of people like Maryam Mirzakhani and also Maryam Bakhtiari. So when I'm talking about paying attention to ethnic groups, it means heeding Kurds, Baluchs, Sistani, Arab, Iraq, and all the people in different provinces, different parts of Iran, the south, east, west, north of Iran, paying attention to the Sunni minorities also on my agenda. They have been protecting our borders in different parts of the country, and they have stood aside by their fellow countrymen during the war days and hard times. But they have been facing discrimination. And the government of life, I'm duty-bound to compensate for the past discrimination against them and making use of the possibilities and of the Sunni elite in the running of the country's affairs, the ministerial-level embassies, and as heads of great government organizations. When I talk about heeding the less privileged people, that means having the right infrastructure for them and to remove poverty, but not to distribute poverty. As for Mrs. Akhani's comments, I should say that I have paid into the question issues. But also, you should bear in mind FATF and also the climbing up walls of embassies and also playing into the enemy's hands. You should also pay attention the one-digit inflation rate, the 6.7% inflation rate in the government.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And the last candidate who is going to speak in the section is candidate number four, Mr. Raisi. Mr. Raisi, you have 4 minutes to express your criticisms. The floor is yours.
The first point I wish to mention was concerning the issue of Khuzestan that was mentioned. The legal authority with respect to TRIP is the National Coronavirus Headquarters. We got the permission, and also the permission was also granted by the coronavirus headquarters of the province, and also the medical school in Ahvaz prepared a protocol for the congregation. And there's the legal authority. We issued the permission, and I listened to what the expert said because I've been intending to travel to Ahvaz in the past 5 or 6 months. I felt to be indebted to that province. So we did obey the rules. Why are you so upset? Those who did not listen to the health ministry, how come you have not become sensitive towards them? During the New Year holidays in 1399, it was said there should be restrictions, and Mr. Rouhani did not pay attention to it. That caused a great deal of losses. And the same thing happened in the New Year holidays of 1400, and even it was reflected by the media and caused major losses. On 20th of and 25th of February, restrictions were enforced, and Mr. Rouhani did not listen to the experts. and many reports were released by the parliament, by the people and the NGOs. How come you did not become sensitive to this issue? I listened to the experts, and I had to travel to all provinces in the first year. It took 2 years because I wanted to listen to what the experts are saying. You can ask the health ministry and the sector that had the judiciary has the closest cooperation with the health ministry. I'm telling you, the people you have seen, the media, the names that were mentioned, did we just hold them accountable? Whatever you said, the names he said, have these names mentioned by the media outlets? So just you can get the news from the media outlets. And the FATF, regarding FATF, how did you read my mind? FATF is an agreement, is an issue. It was explained in the previous session. Many segments of the agreement has been implemented. So if the people's interests are obtained, we will agree. And if not, we will disagree, and we cannot overlook the people's interests. Regarding the lifting of sanctions, why are you just making a ballyhoo? We are talking, one should be virtuous. We should be say what the previous governor has said. He said nothing. He was asked what was the outcome. He said nothing. This is what you have said yourself. I'm openly saying this. We consider JCPOA as an agreement with 9 paragraphs. The leader endorsed it. This is an agreement, a commitment that all governments must comply with. We will comply, but you cannot implement the JCPOA. A strong government must implement it.
Yes.
If you have problems inside the country, you
thank
cannot
you
gain
very
the
much.
Strength.
Thank you very much. And that brings us to the end of this section, and I'm asking my colleagues to show the monitors which are in front of each candidate to show how much time each candidate used. As you can see, all candidates, with a few seconds more or less, almost they use almost all of the times allocated to them. In the first half of the third debate, the first half comes to an end. Now we have a 15-minute break during which the respective candidates can also consult their advisors. After the break, we will be at your service with the second half of the debate. Thank you very much.
This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You have just listened to live the third presidential debate between the 7 presidential candidates. Each candidate set out his manifesto and policies and also talked about the most pressing concerns for ordinary people. There will now be a 15-minute break and we will go back to our regular programming. We shall continue broadcasting the second half of this live presidential debate in about 15 to 20 minutes' time. Okay, the election itself, of course, will be held on Friday, 18th of June, and all canvassing and campaigning will come to an end on Wednesday night, 16th of June. Okay, let's go back to our regular programming now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is From the Moon to the Sun. We would like to congratulate you on the auspicious birth anniversary of the one and only Sayyidah Ma'asuma salamullah alayha, the daughter of Imam Musa al-Kadhim, the apple of his eyes, the sister of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, the pride and the gem of the Ahlul Bayt, the beloved granddaughter of the noble Prophet of Allah. Here from the holy city of Qum, you can rest assured that we remember you in our prayers as we visit the holy and the luminous, the blessed, the splendid shrine of Sayyidah Ma'asumah today on her birth anniversary. A huge buzz in the city of Qum right now. All the hearts of the devotees of the Ahlul Bayt are filled with joy and, to an extent, filled with pride that they are the followers of a religion that reveres, upholds, and honors a woman so much at a time where there's so much controversy, so much misconception, so much feud among people over sometimes absolutely trivial things. But once again, Eidukum Sa'id. This is the birth anniversary of Sayyidah Ma'asumah. And our special, of course, as always, we have our special guest, my friend and my sister, Sister Razia Shamili, here with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would also like to congratulate our dear brothers and sisters in faith on this very happy and auspicious occasion of the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Ma'asumah. And we're honored, we're really privileged to be living in the same city as our beloved and dear lady, Fatima al-Ma'asumah.
Thank you so much. It's always a good feeling to have you here with us. And especially on this day, it is such a special occasion, such a special opportunity. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Sister Razia, when I think about it, the fact that, like you said, we're really privileged that we have this doctrine, we have this ideology in the 21st century where people are so confused in regard to their objective in life, their role in life, their responsibilities. And I'm pretty sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. And here we are, a bunch of Muslim women, sitting in a nice, friendly environment and talking about life-forming, life-changing topics.
Right.
This is a very special occasion across the world in many Islamic societies, the birth anniversary of Sayyidah Ma'asumah salamullah alayha, up till the birth anniversary of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, is known as the 10 days of Kirama. And the reason for it, I think, is because, well, it's very special because they're brother and sister. They're both in Iran, so I guess it makes it, makes them quite close. And all our lives, we were told about the great bond that Imam Ridha had with his sister. And
I can tell you about the story of this beloved brother and sister if you want.
Absolutely.
Well, Lady Fatima al-Ma'asumah was born in the year 173 after Hijra. And unfortunately, at that time, because of the oppressive rulers and because of the presence of Harun al-Rashid, you know, in the one of the Abbasid caliphs of that time, there was a lot of repression, there was a lot of oppression, and a very tense environment in which the noble imams could not practice in the way that they wanted, and they could not relate to people, they could not
communicate
to other, you know, to their to other Muslim brothers and sisters or to their companions. It was the environment was very, very tense. And so Lady Fatima al-Ma'asumah could take joy of the presence of her beloved dad for not much, only for 6 years. And in the year 179, I said she was born in 173, in 179, her beloved father was imprisoned and was taken to another city. They were all living in the city of Medina alongside, you know, Lady Fatima al-Ma'asumah, Lady Imam Ridha alayhi salam with
the rest of
the family. So she was only six at that time, and upon the message, upon the words of Imam Musa al-Qadim alayhi salam, Imam Ridha, who was 25 at that time, he took hold of the responsibility of, you know, managing the family. And so we can understand that Lady Fatima al-Masuma had the privilege of, first of all, being under the care and under the supervision of her dad for the first 6 years, and then for so many other years, she was under the supervision and care of her beloved brother, Imam Ridha alayhi salam. That is one of the reasons that there is a very close link and relationship between this heavenly brother and sister.
So as if Imam Ridha, for a long period of Sayyidina Masuma's life, was her father figure.
Exactly.
Her support in many ways. Shall we go for on a break?
Sure.
We're going to go for a short break. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Ya Fatimatu, ishfa'ili fil jannah, fa inna laki inda Allahi sha'nan min ash-sha'n. Ya Fatimatu, ishfa'ili fil jannah, fa inna laki inda Allahi sha'nan min ash-sha'n. Allahumma inni as'aluka أن تختم لي بالسعادة فلا تسلب مني ما أنا فيه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is From the Moon to the Sun. We are here celebrating the auspicious birth anniversary of Sayyidah Ma'asuma Salamullah Alayha, the beloved and precious sister of Imam Ridha Alayhi Salam. And as we said, the gem of the Ahlul Bayt, if not the gem of Islam, a gem of a woman who has been celebrated as a prominent character and as a role model throughout history by many Muslims across the world. We were talking with Sister Razia Shamili about a brief history of Sayyidah Masuma's life, and you mentioned that unfortunately Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he was imprisoned while Sayyidah Masuma was at a very young age, and after that she was under the care of her brother Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who was not just a brother but was like a father figure to her as well. But I think,
as a matter of fact, Imam Ridha held, because he was very knowledgeable, very wise, very pious. He was a special character. So Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam had told his family that with all the affairs regarding the marriage, any detail about the family life of Imam Musa al-Kadhim's family, everything has to be referred to Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, and he was to make the...
He was his father's successor.
Exactly.
In every meaning of the word.
Right. And but unfortunately, after a couple of years, Ma'mun, who was the next, who was after Harun al-Rashid, Ma'mun was a very smart and cunning person, and he tried to drag Imam Ridha alayhi salam all the way from Medina to Marv to take benefit, mm-hmm. and to have him by his side, and to, in a way, to control him, because his father, Harun al-Rashid, couldn't control Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, and so he was martyred. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam was martyred in prison because he couldn't stop the Imam, so he was martyred. The cunning plot, Ma'mun's plan, his policy was different from his dad. He took the Imam all the way from another land, from another country, to Iran, to the city of Marv, to have him close by, to monitor mm-hmm. him, to see what he was doing.
And to take advantage
to take
of
advantage
him.
From his place, and to say that he's going to be my heir apparent, he's mm-hmm. going to be by my side, he's going to be my successor. And so he would have the situation under control. So in the year 200 after Hijra, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he didn't want to come. He didn't want to go to Marv. But in a way, he was forced mm-hmm. to travel all the way to Marv, and he had a very bitter farewell from his family, because he knew that this was going to be his last and final meeting with his beloved family. everyone shed tears. I'm not going to make the program sad, but I'm just going to say that in a very unhappy way, Imam Rida alayhi salam said farewell and left the city of Medina to
Iran, basically.
Iran.
And it's quite a long distance. I mean, we think about Medina till Merv. Today, it's like a 2-hour flight, but back then, it probably took them 2 months
to get
there, right?
The camels,
exactly.
Right? It was a long, long time. But inshallah, with the days that we're going to talk about Imam Rida alayhi salam, I will say some things about even this trip, the caravan moving from Medina to Marv, and
inshallah,
the wonders and the miracles of how Imam Rida alayhi salam, you know, the miracles he left in the different places that he visited. Subhanallah, the stories are fabulous. They just bring tears to your eyes.
Inshallah.
But
so we've got about a couple of minutes left.
Sure. So in the year 200 when he left, 1 year later, because of the very close bond and relationship that existed between this heavenly brother and sister, the moon and the sun, Sayyida Masuma, along with her other brothers and other
family members,
she decided to migrate and have a journey, to go on a journey from Medina to Marv. But unfortunately, in the city of Save, which is about 60 kilometers to Qom, there was a raid, there was an attack on the family of the Prophet, and unfortunately, she was also poisoned, as it is in some of the narrations, she was poisoned by a woman, and she couldn't reach her beloved brother, Imam Rida alayhi salam, and upon her request, she was taken to Qom, and someone actually came from the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, Musa ibn Khazraj. He came to Lady Masuma, and he wanted to have her honor to,
host her.
He wanted her to give him the honor of hosting Lady Fatima al-Masuma in his house. And a couple of days after her arrival in the city of Qom, unfortunately, she was martyred.
As it goes with every story, their joy, their happiness, their celebration is very short-lived. And I think even though today is a very auspicious occasion and it's celebratory and we're really happy, but still, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt will forever carry a sorrow in their hearts until the day of their emancipation comes,
inshallah.
On the day of the reappearance of Al-Hujjah, inshallah ta'ala, by the right of Sayyida Masuma salamullah alayha. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sister Razia, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back, inshallah, on further episode, and we will bring you more on the story of the moon till the sun. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We're now waiting for the second half of the third presidential debate to start. It will start in a few minutes' time. Each candidate is setting out his manifesto and policies and talks about the most pressing concerns facing ordinary people. And the candidates themselves are generally setting out their policies, what they will do if they form the next government, if they become the next president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And by law, the election, the campaigning and the canvassing will have to stop on Wednesday night, 16th of June. The election itself will be held on Friday, 18th of June. Well, we're just now waiting for the candidates, the seven presidential contenders, to arrive and for the second half of this live presidential debate to get started. Let's listen to some music now. Okay, the second half of the third televised presidential debate is just about to start. The candidates are now seated in the studio, and they're going to talk about their policies, manifestos, and the most pressing concerns facing ordinary people, the electorate. Let's listen in.
Has 5 minutes to answer one major question, which will be chosen by random. In the second part, each one will have 3 minutes to express their criticisms and some of what was discussed in this part. Let me, you see, these questions are sealed. Let me bring out these questions. There are seven questions from 1 through 7.